We're doing the Sefer HaMidot, we're up to page Kufayin Bet. The Magen Midubna had begun the chapter, the whole section about love. And after explaining that love follows our intellect, he explained that there are three types of approaches to life. And stemming from those three approaches, there are three types of love. And he began by discussing the fool's love, and that the fool only sees the moment, and so just as an animal could lovingly follow the hand that feeds it, as that hand leads it to the slaughterhouse, if you just extend your hand with a little bit of grain, the animal will lovingly eat off your hand, and you just walk it to the slaughterhouse, and the animal thinks you love it. That's the way a fool goes. He loves the things that give him a pleasant feeling here and now, and he doesn't think what the future holds. And so he said, I will go off on a tangent here to try and help people heal themselves of this fool's love, the attitude, the approach to life that says, let's just love the here and the now. And I think that this section is most apt to our generation, because we're a generation that's constantly trained to live it up and to enjoy the here and the now. So the Magid Midovna says, Rishona yomana ha'evil, gamim ki dvarav sha'olam hazeh hu tov be'etzem. First of all, let's say, even if it were as he says, that this world is really good, he says, you know, but at the end of the day, you're never going to take things away from this world. Meaning, I just look around and you see that this world is passing. You don't last in this world. You're finite. So we're like guests in this world. We haven't come to the place that's ours. This isn't the place that we could call our portion. This is ours forever. We take what we can in the service of Hashem, and whatever is left, you know, that's all going to remain to our inheritors. You're not going to take anything with you. Because when a person passes from this world, his silver, his gold, his precious stones and his jewels, they don't accompany him. It's only the Torah and the good deeds that he did. That's the only thing that really accompanies him to the grave. That's infinite. You did a good deed, that's infinite. You got yourself 1,000 euros, well, who knows how much that's going to be worth in a week. You got yourself $1,000, who knows how much that's going to be worth. Even if it's worth something, what am I going to be worth? And what do I take from that in the long run? And why should we love something that's not really ours? Who do you know who's going to inherit you? Sometimes a person hates the people who inherit him. You read Josephus, you read about the period of the Second Temple, you read about the kings of the Second Temple, the Herodian dynasty, their own children were trying to kill them. Imagine a person's own son kills him and inherits all his wealth. So what did he gain by having all that wealth? I've seen many houses brought to destruction because there was wealth, and then the children started fighting about their inheritance. Just yesterday, we learned about how Yishmael and Eliezer were squabbling about who's going to inherit Avram Avinu after Yitzchak's going to be slaughtered. Avram lost his relative Lot over an argument who's going to inherit the wealth. So very often, you end up having a situation where you've amassed wealth, and it's your enemies that are going to enjoy it. I was at a funeral where there was a poor orphan. He had nothing. He didn't have the house he lived in. It was a rented house. He had no relatives. The only relatives he had were second cousins who never spoke to them. And now they came. His poor mother died and the kid's an orphan. He had no father. So they came for the funeral. And a friend of mine got a ride with him. And he hears these second cousins talking. And they're discussing how the mother had this type of jewelry they'll be able to take, and that type of jewelry they'll be able to take. The body isn't cold yet. The woman wasn't even buried yet. But the women are discussing what they're going to be able to take because the orphan doesn't know what's coming or going. So the woman, a few days before she passed away, these second cousins came to visit her, and she was her whole body was riddled with cancer, and she couldn't talk. She was on morphine. They tried to prevent the pain, so she was totally out. But you could see how, as much as she was totally out, when they'd walk into the room, these cousins, she'd shift her whole body to the other side of the room, not to look at them. You'd see a person that couldn't talk, that didn't really know much if it was day or night or anything. She saw those cousins, whoop, flipped to the other side. Now, I was there, I saw it, you know. The Magen Midovna says, why should we fall in love with material things? Do you know who's going to get it after you pass? I remember hearing from my friend, he told me about this conversation. We were trying to figure out how to protect the orphan so that they don't get away with taking everything he owned. And I remember thinking, she'd be turning in her grave if she thought they'd wear any jewelry she was wearing. The Magen Midovna says, what do we love things? Why are we so in love with the material things if it's not really ours in the long run? And it might even be our enemies. It could be that as much as we amass, our enemies will enjoy. Your enemies might wear the precious clothing you prepared yourself. That you sweat and toiled in order to attain. And they'll get it so freely. We know that happened. That's the story of Purim. Haman was the wealthiest person in town. So wealthy. He worked so hard. He was a stable boy. He was a barber. He worked his way up in life. And finally he became so wealthy. And who got it all? Mordechai. Achashverosh was a stable boy. He worked his way up. Became so wealthy. Became king. And he hated the Jews. And who got all his wealth? Well, he ended up marrying a Jew. And his own son was a Jew. Koresh inherited all his wealth. So sometimes a person's own enemies, they're the ones that are going to enjoy all the material goods that he worked so hard to attain. So why work so hard? Why be so madly in love with the material world? Are you really risking your life and dedicating yourself to love something that's not really for you? Something that you'll turn over in the grave if you'll think about it. Because if you think about it, you will be sadder when you lose it than you're happy when you gain it. And this is a phenomenal concept. What the Magen Midovna said here in one sentence is a whole theory in economics. There's a theory about how people function in the stock market, in any market. And what they say is, let's say you own a stock, and the stock goes up $100, and you made $1,000. Let's say you own 10 shares of that stock, it went up $100, you made $1,000. So, what this theory says is that the amount that we sense happiness is 30% of how we sense sadness. Meaning, you will have to make $3,000 in order to sense the same amount that you'll sense when you lose $1,000. Meaning, when you own a stock and it goes down $10 and you lost $1,000, you panic. Suddenly you're a wreck. You weren't that happy when you made the thousand, but when you lose the thousand, you feel it much stronger than when you make the thousand. That's the way we are. The Magen Midovna says, what are you working so hard for? You're working so hard for something which you will be much sadder when you lose it than you are happy when you gain it. Think about it. I'm telling you, this is a whole philosophy. This is a whole economic theory in one sentence in the Magen Midovna. What?
More than a theory.
You're saying what?
they've shown, it's a little different from what you're saying, but if somebody makes, say, $10 million, then loses $9 million, they've still made $1 million. It was more painful for them than if they had just made $1 million to begin with.
You heard him?
Yeah, I'm not like that.
You're not like that. If you would have bought a stock and it went up, I had this once. You buy a stock, I put $5,000 in the market, I think even $3,000 in the market, and it went up and it was worth 15. And a day later it went back down and it was worth 8. I felt terrible. You should, you're not. You're happy. You say, I made 3. You don't say, I should have sold at 15. You don't say that? Because most people say, I should have sold at 15.
I bought a house, it doubled. I could have sold it, but I didn't. Because there was someone living there, it wasn't important to me. I thought, look after the tenants.
And now?
Now I have tenants. And I need that. £100 each month for my cigarettes. So it was a good investment.
Daniel Kahneman. Daniel Kahneman, he's Israeli, I think, that actually teaches at Harvard psychology and economics.
Okay, so this...
Yeah, I worked hard to get money, save money to come here, and all this spent all. I know that that's the deal, that every single penny I make, I won't have to give up. So it doesn't really matter. I worked hard, and then you're going to lose it anyway.
Okay. Okay, so we'll pick up your Bezachim next time.